Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. This weekend, the readings are tough. First, we get the Lord being so clear with Ezekiel, and then we get the Lord in the Gospel of Matthew challenging us on how exactly to approach correction. I think fundamentally, as a Christian, and correction is just uncomfortable, because we live in a world where everything kind of sells to us the idea that love is primarily kind of an emotion, keeping the peace. That love is emotional at heart. But the truth is, if it were, it would be impossible to fulfill the command to love our enemy. In Catholicism, we have a very well-defined we have a very good definition for what love is. Love is to pursue and seek the good of the other. To pursue and seek the good of the other. And if the greatest good is God Himself, then the purest kind of love is to pursue and seek whatever leads the other person to God. Now, in order then to be able to love people, then it's impossible to do that without real correction. Because for some, real love means I need to correct you to keep you in the path to the Lord. And for others, I need to correct you to invite you back to the path to the Lord. And there are very clear consequences to this, because in a culture that values protecting each other's feelings, then not ruffling anybody's feathers and not doing anything uncomfortable becomes a virtue, except that for the Christian, that's a vice. Pay attention to what the Lord says to Ezekiel. You, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. In other words, God will, if we don't speak out when we see sin, if we don't invite the person to conversion, if we don't call the person to change when we see them steeped in sin, we are going to be judged as though we were an accomplice to it. So there's no wiggle room there. The Lord doesn't even entertain the fantasy that love is just an emotion. You really love me, you will warn your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your parent, your loved ones, your son, your daughter, when they are sinning. Because we can't honestly say, oh, I love you so much that I'm not going to tell you when you're risking your soul. That would be hypocritical of us. So, the problem that we run into is then, look, I've tried telling this person about changing their life and about their sin. The problem is that a lot of us default to kind of bashing people over the head instead of correcting in the way that Jesus does here in the gospel today, in the Gospel of Matthew. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So step one. See if you can get the person to reconsider their course of action out of trust and care and love built up between you two. In other words, does he value our friendship enough to reconsider this course, this sinful course of action? If the answer is no, then the second step is go bring two or three other witnesses. And Jesus is very specific about the reason. He says, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. What's he getting at? That this, step number one is, let's see where we are in relationship with each other. Me and the person I'm correcting. If that relationship is not strong enough to call the person back to the path of good, then let's see if the truth established, not because I'm passionate about what they're doing, but because others are pointing out the same. Others are pointing out the truth, the objective reality of the situation, if the truth dissuades them. If not our relationship and not the truth will dissuade them, then let's call the church. Tell the church. Let's get others involved. Why? Because what does sin do? Sin separates us from God. But in essence, sin not only separates us from God, it separates us from each other. It creates division. And so why call the church lastly? Because if the relationship, the personal relationship was not enough to get the person to change their course of action, and the truth wasn't enough, then maybe letting them see what it might cost them in terms of relationships with the community as a whole and with his faith, maybe that can be the next step. But if that doesn't even work, if none of those three work, then what does Jesus say? He says, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, many of us would interpret that as, oh, this is Jesus giving me a green light to cut ties with this person entirely. Except that how does he treat Gentiles and tax collectors? That's the question then. So if personal relationship didn't work, the truth didn't work, the consequences didn't work, showing them that their faith doesn't condone what they're doing didn't work, then we've determined now what was missing. What was missing is that that person doesn't have a relationship with God. So it's not about trying again what hasn't worked before. It's about diagnosing what the person actually needs. So Jesus says, treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Treat them as you would someone who doesn't know God yet. How does Jesus treat the Gentile in the gospel? The Gentile woman at the well, he tells her the truth and invites her to change. He invites her. He doesn't obligate her. He doesn't try to force her. He does not shy away from the truth of her sin, but he tells her there's an alternative to it, the life of grace. And so the response is, okay, if the person doesn't know God, doesn't have a relationship with God, then we need to start there. We need to start there. Because that's the fundamental relationship that's broken. How does Jesus treat the tax collectors? There are two prominent tax collectors in Scripture, in the Gospels. Namely, first, the guy who wrote today's Gospel, Matthew himself. How does Jesus treat him? He calls him to follow him. How does Jesus treat Zacchaeus? He calls him down from the tree and goes and dines with him and invites him to change his life. So the question then is, if everything else has failed, not personal relationship, not the truth, and not the consequences, was not enough to change the person's mind, then I need to realize, okay, this person does not yet know the Lord, doesn't have a real relationship with him yet. And so what should we do? It's not a matter of catechizing the person. It's a matter of evangelizing the person. And this is where, for us, correction is not just about getting the person to change. It's about giving the person love. What is the ultimate love? A relationship with God. And so correction is love. And in correcting the person, we get to determine where they are so that we can offer them what they need to grow in their relationship with God. If everything else has failed, then you know, I got to start at the basics. This person doesn't even know Jesus. They might know about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. They might know about the church, but they don't know the faith. And so treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. How? You invite them. Come to Mass with me. I'm inviting you to come to Mass with me. I'm inviting you to come to adoration with me. I'm inviting you to go back to confession. When was the last time that someone prayed with you? Can I pray with you? Right? It's got to become about then establishing a relationship with Christ that can grow. Because the reason that the first three didn't work, that the personal relationship didn't work, the truth didn't work, and the consequences, letting them see the consequences didn't work, is because there was no ultimate overarching relationship with God himself. And so, if you have someone in your life that you've tried correcting, that you see steeped in sin, they're happy to be in their sin, and your relationship with them was not enough to get them to change, you're telling them the truth and letting others expose the truth to them and was not enough, if letting them see the consequences of their actions was not enough, then maybe the next step is to take a step back and realize, I have to deal with this person as someone who needs to meet Jesus. Not as someone who already knows him, but as someone who doesn't yet know him. So it has to be an invitation now. God bless.